Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 30th of May, recording at 10.02 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and it was most definitely another risk-off day, with a few exceptions. Asian stock markets, while down, were mostly down with very, very minor declines, and one actually pushed higher. That was the Malaysian KLCI index. The biggest decline was probably Hong Kong, down 1.92%. The European stock markets were quite weak here overall. Declines of 1.7, 1.5 to 2%, about average, and that includes the UK, which is down 1.74%. Wall Street also suffered here. All the Americas suffered. The S&P closed at 1313 and change. That's down 1.43. NASDAQ down a little bit less. Long-dated government bond prices surged across the board around the globe. The U.S. long bond is trading after hours at 149.21. That's up 1 27/32. The U.S. dollar was strong, up 600 ticks here to 83.085. And the Asian dollar index that I posted yesterday, that weakened quite sharply in here today. Among individual currencies, we've seen the Aussie down to 0.97. Sterling, Sterling. Sterling's been quite soft in here. Got hit again today, down to 1.5478. And the euro, which has been down just about every day, down to 1.2368 as I speak. Now, the precious metals, this really was interesting because they were down a bit, and then as the dollar, this is early in early trading, and then as the dollar continued to strengthen, they suddenly fell very, very sharply. And for instance, silver got down to 27.35. Now it's currently trading at 27.88, which is up on the day, up 9 cents, and it has been up to 28.14. So they fell very sharply, tested their lows, gold and silver, and then saw good bounces. Gold, for instance, got down to, they're not showing it, I guess. I can see it on the futures, August futures. That got down to 1530. It was down over $30 at one stage, then closed up on the day. And gold bullion is currently trading at 1563. That's up nearly $8. Platinum fell very sharply and picked up a little bit. It's still down 27 $1,401. Palladium actually had a gain as well, 1608, and it was up $2. Crude oil, this is a big story. Real weakness in here, down over $3 on both contracts. So that brings WTI down to 87.43, and it takes the Brent down to 103, maybe just a fraction below 103. Among commodities, you really were hard-pressed to find any gains in here today. Tiny gain on rough rice and white sugar, which is traded in the UK. And that's it. All the other commodities were lower. So naturally, that CCI, Continuous Commodity Index, which had a downward dynamic yesterday, That had definite follow-through in here today, extending that overall decline, which is in its 14th month. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously we have an extremely nervous environment here in terms of stock markets. I would say less so in Asia, but that's not going to be immune from what we're seeing elsewhere overall. The European markets remain extremely weak overall. I mean, Spain's been down every day. It must be down 10 or 11% this month so far. So those concerns certainly remain, and the Spanish long-dated government bond yields are up above, I think they got up to 6.65%, so that's very uncomfortable. And the Italian 10-year bond yields pushed up over 6%. So this is still a deteriorating situation right now. And then, of course, there's the uncertainty regarding the Greek election. But in many respects, well, it would be, no, it would be, I was going to say, in many respects, it's a sideshow, but it's not, because there's all the uncertainty about whether Greece leaves the euro sooner rather than later, and how disorderly that might be, and what the knock-on effects might be. And everybody is voting with their feet here in Europe. So that is a worry. And we have yet to see a catalyst to change this situation overall. And in my opinion, the only possible catalyst that can emerge from this is that a reluctant ECB it steps in and commences another massive round of bond buying. Now, I think that will happen, but people will be quick to point out that, well, that's not going to actually resolve the problem. It just buys a bit more time, and it's inevitably going to be controversial. But having started on that tack, I think a few months ago, shortly after Mario Draghi was appointed president of the ECB, I don't think they're actually, I don't think they're going to turn back. And as I've said before, he's not going to preside with magnificent indifference over the destruction of the euro, and therefore the European Central Bank, which he's been appointed to run, to play obviously a hugely crucial role in resolving this crisis. But you know, I'm convinced that when this whole saga belongs to the history books, and that's probably, well, who knows, and that's well in the future, that the lack of leadership within Europe, certainly among the politicians, is going to be a key factor. And so there we are. That situation goes on. We have yet to see the ECB do anything additional that is decisive. But I think, you know, we're probably a matter of days away from that actually happening. I don't feel that the catalyst, and these markets certainly need a catalyst. I'll point out that they're oversold. And there's a good Ned Davis research indicator of sentiment, which will show that stock markets, now that one probably, I think that measures the US. And it's oversold, but it's not as oversold as it was back near the lows in 2010 and 2011. And the US S&P is just below its 200-day moving average. So far, this is just what would be classified as a normal reaction, albeit in very abnormal circumstances in terms of this whole ongoing European crisis. So my point is that I don't think that the Fed is about to rush in there, although I notice a couple of Fed governors are at least are saying that, including Evans of Chicago, saying that the U.S. should be doing more, Fed should be doing more to address the unemployment situation. Now, they may well be pushed in that direction, but I don't think that there's enough of a crisis mood in the United States regarding the U.S. economy at this stage to cause the Fed to reluctantly move in that direction. So that means, really, if you get a catalyst, it's more likely than not to come from the ECB, and that won't be anywhere near as convincing or persuasive as a catalyst from the Fed. So the point is, there's a risk that we do go somewhat lower here before we go higher. I don't think we go dramatically lower. Well, it may be dramatic for a few days, but in other words, I don't think we go meaningfully lower in terms of percentages. And other markets around the world, many, many other markets around the world, are a good deal more overextended to the downside, a good deal more oversold. But so far, we've only seen a modest loss of downside momentum and technical rally by those markets. So there are still risks here to the downside. I should also mention, though, what is interesting here, in terms of relative strength among important stock markets, you've got it with the U.S. It has, yes, of course, it's come off, but a lot less, as I've already mentioned, than most other stock markets. And China, which was a serial underperformer until a couple of months ago and has clearly been steadier. You know, we had those big upward dynamics on Monday and Tuesday in China, and it's only a little over 100 points on an index at, what is it, sort of 2,000, just under the 2,500 level. So break above on that Shanghai A-share index, break above that 2600 level and hold it, and that will excite a lot of market watchers around the globe, and that's going to happen whether this overall bearish sentiment delays that for certainly a few more days and possibly a few more weeks. Well, that's a real possibility. I'm pretty convinced that it is going to happen. And so my point on that is that the two single biggest national economies, the USA and China, that their respective stock markets are relative outperformers. And that probably bodes well. Well, I think not probably. That undoubtedly does bode well because of the leash effect. And the leash effect that we get. Pause there for a moment because I thought I'd lost my connection, but I don't think I have. So that leash effect is not dragging the market lower. It's been the whole European situation that has really been dragging markets lower. Okay, what else to mention here? The reset in commodity prices, this really is important. I've said it's a bit of a double-edged sword because in the short term it reflects or confirms the overall global economic weakness. The fact that we've seen, well, we're in the 14th month of this decline, that really dramatically reduces those commodity inflation pressures that we were actually seeing, and it makes it easier for central banks, such as the Bank of China, to stimulate their economies. So what we see is the building blocks for a second half recovery in stock markets are falling in place. but we're still in this difficult and stressful period. Now, talk about stressful and difficult. The volatility in the precious metals today was dramatic, really on yo-yos and yo-yo type performance. And I blame the high frequency trading for a lot of that. So hugely volatile. Now that is usually an ending signal if it occurs following either a very sustained advance or in this instance a sustained decline overall, taking gold and silver back to last year's lows. But I don't want to get too excited about this, but today was the first day, or one of the first days, certainly, where you could say, well, actually, we saw just a glimmer of precious metal haven status in the rally that that occurred, whereas previously they had been behaving entirely like risk assets in this cycle. And I've contrasted that with last year's cycle when they were accelerating up to highs. So that's just a straw in the wind, but it is occurring at an important level down near last year's reaction lows overall. And you get gold above $1,600 for more than a day or two. Now it's had a look at that several times. So you've got a trading range here. You can see that on the charts very clearly. And incidentally, gold, of course, also did that against the background of dollar strength. So that's encouraging. But you get gold, which is trading right now just below the 1563 level. You get that breaking above 1600, and it doesn't take all that much to do that. $38, less than $38 away. And if it were to hold a push above 1600 for more than a day or two, I think that could very easily turn into a self-feeding move overall. Now, that I think that's possibility is, well, as of today's action, when precious metals had a look at those lows and people were fearful that there might be another run to the downside, the attitude of a lot of traders will be, hey, they didn't break down today. If they didn't break down, then maybe they're going to break up. That's my conclusion on that, at any rate. Platinum did move a little lower, but it's still above its year-end lows. I think the platinum's interesting because it's, as I said yesterday, because it's at such a big discount to gold. And also the supply-demand situation is supposed to be relatively tight here overall. And but it probably needs my guess is that gold and silver will have to lead the next move to the upside, and when that is underway, then probably platinum and palladium will eventually overhaul gold and silver and rally even more because of supply tightness and also the important industrial uses that those two metals have, not least as catalytic converters. And in my mind, to my mind, platinum always has been and very much remains an extremely important precious metal, and both are popular in terms of jewelry. Well, that's pretty much it. I don't want to go on too long in this audio. I'm off now for the rest of this week, and I'll be away all of next week, but back on the 11th. So good luck in the markets. All the very best.